Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
This may sound old-fashioned to some of you if you've been following college football for a really long time, but it shouldn't. We've got to bring it back. The Big 12 needs to begin exploring the idea of a Big 12 network. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports, and we are so glad you're here. As always, as a part of the show, make sure that you are subscribed right now to the channel, and we always appreciate our radio affiliates being here as a part of the show as well. So this came up in a column that was written on HeartlandCollegeSports.com by our own Matthew Postens, and he was writing about how Big 12 women's basketball is cream of the crop right now. They have a lot of viewership, but they're not getting as much love as they should get. Now, before you're like, wait, no, I'm not going to listen to you break down women's college basketball. First off, that's not the point of the conversation. Women's college basketball is being used in this column by Matthew as a way to explain why the Big 12 is behind the eight ball when it comes to production, when it comes to branding, and ultimately, when it comes to pushing out its product to potential eyeballs and potential fans. The Big 12 is doing a lot right now, right? They're going to be playing games overseas, two this year. They got the Mexico thing they're working on with basketball. Brett Yormark is trying to build a global brand. But he's doing it right now with one TV partner in ESPN who just is in love with the SEC. The Big 12 is basically ESPN's side chick. Let's be honest. Then you've got Fox. They're also playing side chick to Fox because they've got the Big Ten. The TNT thing has tremendous potential. And the Big 12's like, well, okay, we're getting some love, but are we really getting enough? Iowa State is right now the most watched women's college basketball team in the country. Oklahoma State is number 5. Baylor's number 10. That's 3 in the top 10 for the Big 12. But the Big 12 does not get nearly as much love when it comes to linear television products and when their games are broadcast on some of their TV partners. And that's never going to happen for the Big 12. It's not. ESPN is always going to love the SEC more because they're paying the SEC more. It's a bigger part of their business model. It's natural. Like it or not, that's how it's going to be. And same thing with Fox as it relates to the Big 10. TNT has great potential. But for the Big 12, a Big 12-style network of some kind makes a lot of sense. Now, if we go down historically how we got here, when all the networks were popping up, SEC, ACC, Big 10, the Big 12 was left behind. Why? Because of those dopey Texas Longhorns who like to ruin everything that they touch. And they had the Longhorn Network. It was a 20-year deal. It was $300 million. And they were like, you know what? We're not going to let anybody come near this money. We're not going to roll this into a Big 12 network. And if you can't get our stuff, let's be honest, there is no Big 12 network. So the Big 12 was left holding the bag. Now, there's a cautious tale of the Pac-12 network, which if you're a fan of one of our Pac-12 teams and you're here, you probably know this all too well. The Pac-12 network was in a very difficult spot. And here's historically what happened. The ACC, the Big Ten, and the SEC network all had major television partners who could then basically help them set up shop, keep the overhead down somewhat, and most importantly, get distribution. The Pac-12 network was basically the Pac-12 trying to go at it on its own, try to sell it. They had to build out the studios. They spent a fortune on that. And then they couldn't get it into as many homes as they needed to get it into. And part of that was because their timing was bad. They didn't have the basically distribution in place to get this into as many homes as they possibly could along the West Coast. And this was about 10 years ago when you saw a lot of these TV distributors be like, you know what? I don't think we should be paying all this money for these channels anymore. This doesn't make a lot of sense. So we're not going to do it. So that hurt the Pac-12 network. But today it's a different world. It's a totally different landscape right now in terms of where television broadcasts are at. So for the Big 12, there's a couple of reasons this makes sense. You own the content. You're less reliant on being like, I hope ESPN wants to put my game in a good spot tonight, not on ESPN Plus. And then I actually think you can partner with a TNT on this. That's where I think there's value. If you can partner with a TNT that so far has been a great partner for the Big 12, and you can say, how can we work together on distribution? What does this look like? How do we build this thing? How do we keep overhead down as we launch a Big 12 network? What does that look like? What does the content look like? Listen, you can replay games all day, okay? You see it on the SEC network, more so on the Big Ten network. The SEC network does have a lot of original content. They've got the Paul Feinbaum show. They have documentaries they'll play. But you can always just drop an old game on there. I mean, there's not a lot of overhead. There's not a lot of cost associated with that. So I'm not worried about 24/7 content and figuring that out. It will be okay. But if you partner with the right television partner here in this, you get that distribution model set up. And if you don't know how the TV side of this works, just to give you a very brief overview, basically, if you have a cable bundle, whoever that is, Verizon, AT&T, whoever your local cable company is, YouTube TV, basically how it works is if you were to theoretically take your bill, let's say your bill is $100 a month, $10 of that bill is charged by ESPN. And I don't know what exactly it is right now. It was somewhere around there a few years ago. But the point is, it's basically all the channels stacked up. So ESPN is your most expensive channel that's in your bundle. And then it goes all the way down to, like, you know, Bravo, which might be, I don't know, a dollar or two. You get the point. What's Forensic Files on? HLN or something? That's probably like a 50-cent channel. I mean, I love Forensic Files, but, you know, let's be honest. You're not paying an arm and a leg for Forensic Files on the HLN channel. But either way, you're paying money as part of this bundle, and then that money's getting sent to the channels. That's how it works. Now, of course, your cable company is getting some money on top of that. That's how they're making money. But a lot of the bill gets kicked to the TV networks themselves and the channels that are broadcast on your as part of your bundle. So ESPN has always basically been a product that in part gets subsidized by those people who don't watch it, right? Like, if you were to just have ESPN as a standalone channel, and ESPN was like, we're just going to go direct to consumer, like they're trying with this $30 a month model, they would have to charge you so much more money. But there's a lot of people who pay for a cable bundle who don't watch ESPN, and they're subsidizing those of us who do watch sports. So it actually is an okay setup if you're a sports fan and you have some kind of a cable bundle. Of course, now you got to have Peacock and streaming this and streaming that, and it's a different world. The Big 12 is not potentially going to build a network to try to get big time money and big time dollars, but it gives them something that if they can get distribution on it, it's not about getting $5, $6, $7 a household. It's about getting distribution and being an option on linear TV for sports fans to say, I know where to find that Big 12 game. I know that if this Big 12 game is not going to be on ESPN or ESPN2, it's going to be on the Big 12 network. And I don't have to go and jump through hoops to find it on ESPN Plus, because you know as well as I do, ESPN Plus is no man's land. ESPN Plus is a dead zone. Only the diehards are watching ESPN Plus for a game. If you are flipping through your channels on whatever cable bundle you have, you may stumble upon a game. If it's close late, 5 minutes left, BYU, you know, UCF on the Big 12 network, surprisingly good game, not good enough for ESPN. And you're like, okay, I'll watch this. That's what the Big 12 needs right now. The Big 12 is chasing its own tail, doing all these different things, looking for attention. And I'm not saying that your Mark's wrong about that. I don't believe that he is at all. I think he's doing the right thing. But the missing piece here is that they still don't have a mainstream TV partner that puts them first. They are everybody's side chick. So why not put themselves first, latch onto a deal, and try to figure out some distribution model with TNT? And by the way, your Mark Your Mark knows the TV landscape from his NBA days. I mean, this is made for this guy. This idea is made for Brett Yormark and his team. And it's probably something they've investigated. But, you know, there's a million ways you can build out a network. First off, I mean, they've got a good show. They do the Big 12 studio deal with Ari Temkin, who I like Ari a lot. I can never go on his show because, you know, he's in the mornings. I'm doing a morning show in Kansas City. It just never works, but he does a nice job. You could carry, like, loops of this show during the day. You got the 365 sports guys. You could run content from them. My point is there are distribution avenues to fill in the gaps with good Big 12 content. You can run games, replay games. There's a bunch of stuff that you can do that would be beneficial for the Big 12 and really help this conference from a pure awareness perspective, and that's what this league needs. If they can't get the love with women's basketball to tie it back to the earlier conversation, then when is it going to happen? And how is it going to happen? If they're not going to have a partner that puts them first, and they don't have that right now in this conference. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Thank you for being here. Please make sure you are subscribed to the channel as always. We appreciate that. Makes a big deal as this channel keeps growing, the podcast keeps growing, and the radio show keeps growing because of you. So let me know your thoughts on that in the comments. Hit us up on social media as well, and just join the Heartland College Sports Forums. I'm going to post this on there as well to get your takes, and you can follow us as well on all the different social media platforms. So the Big 12 football schedule is out, and we're all just analyzing it with a fine-tooth comb, right? We're all doing it. We're all football junkies. We just can't help ourselves. So Derek Duke, one of our columnists, wrote a piece here at heartlandcollegesports.com, and the headline was a good one. The best and worst of the schedule for the 2026 college football season in the Big 12. And he listed four games. He got two right, and he got two wrong. And I love the guy. He's been a part of the site for, I think, a decade at this point. But he got two right and two wrong. So his best non-conference game in the Big 12, Derek put down Arizona State at Texas A&M on September 12th. He could not be more wrong with that if he tried. The number one non-conference game in the Big 12 conference this year is Notre Dame and BYU. And there is not a close second. I don't care about Kyle Field. I don't care about the SEC at this point. The SEC is not the top conference in America right now. Sorry, SEC, you got pushed aside for the Big Ten. The top game that makes all the difference in the world in the Big 12 from a non-conference perspective is Notre Dame and BYU. And allowing BYU to show itself off to the nation against a whiny bunch of Irish who didn't have the backbone last year to go out there and play BYU in the Pop-Tarts Bowl because they think they got screwed by the College Football Playoff Committee. Well, guess what? Miami made a national championship game. They didn't mess it up. And you guys took your ball and you went home because you're a bunch of crybabies. Instead of tapping the play like a champion sign, they should say, we won't play unless we're called champions, despite the fact that we had two losses in our two best opponents and games that we played all season. That's what the sign should say, but that's a little long-winded, right? The best game in the Big 12, hands down from a non-conference perspective, is BYU and Notre Dame. This game means so much. It will get an enormous rating. You have, of course, the religious affiliation tied into this game as kind of an underpinning of the storylines here. You have the way last year ended, Notre Dame backing out of the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and then, yes, a game that also could go a long way to deciding whether or not either of these two teams end up in a college football playoff. It feels like as close to an elimination game for a college football playoff as you can find, because remember, Notre Dame is in a position where if they finish in the top 12 of the playoff rankings, they're in. And if they beat a BYU team that we think is going to be pretty good, well, guess what? That's going to look good for their resume. For BYU, if they were to lose this game, they would have no other option but to win the Big 12 conference and win the championship game to get to a college football playoff. That's it. They can't get there lose it, have two losses, one of them to the Irish, and make a playoff. They just can't. So in an era where the regular season has been devalued somewhat, this game is enormously important for BYU and can really potentially decide their season in 2026. And it could also decide Notre Dame's season, and therefore it could decide half a dozen other teams in college football season. Because if the Irish are outside the top 12, that opens up a college football playoff spot for some at-large team somewhere else in the country. Like, Notre Dame has a very soft schedule. This is one of those games that they'll probably have to win to find themselves in the top 12 when all is said and done. If they win it, they'll be in good shape, barring some unforeseen disasters. If they lose it, they could be, and I believe would be, on the outside looking in. They would deserve to be on the outside looking in, unless they finish 11-1. So that's where this game is critical for BYU, for the Big 12. The storylines are amazing, Notre Dame, and then a lot of other teams in the conference, or the country, excuse me, are going to be watching this thing very closely as well, because it's one of the few really good matchups that Notre Dame will not be an overwhelming favorite in. So the best non-conference game in the Big 12 is BYU versus Notre Dame. I love our guy Derek Duke. Love him to death. But when he wrote on the website that it was A&M and Arizona State, he could not have been more wrong. And I love you, Derek. And we love you. Please make sure you are subscribed right now to the channel. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12 Conference. We're glad that you're here, as always, as a part of the show. And if you're new on the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and review. All right. What else did he have here? What Derek got right, the worst non-conference game, is Murray State at Oklahoma State. I didn't know Murray State had a football team. I thought they only had basketball. They got pretty good basketball. I didn't know they had football. Well, they barely have football. They are 2-22 in their last couple of seasons. They had a win over Mississippi Valley State last year and Indiana State. That's it. So for Oklahoma State, this comes a week after they host Oregon. We'll see how that plays out. But right now, Murray State at Oklahoma State is a horrible game. And, boy, I would have to go back. Who did I see? I saw Oklahoma State play one of the worst teams I've ever seen a high-level FBS team play, and it was so ugly. Oh, gosh. Wow. I was in Stillwater, Oklahoma, when Oklahoma State beat Savannah State 84-0. I was there. I was working in Woodward, Oklahoma at the time. And it was just a nightmare of a game. They were up 35-0 after the first quarter. J.W. Walsh led the way for Oklahoma State. Wes Lund came in, and then Clint Shelf got some playing time as well. That's a throwback for Oklahoma State fans. I was there. And this Murray State game, which is after the Oregon game, maybe just as ugly. That's how bad Murray State is at football. Even though Oklahoma State has got to turn things around and has a lot to prove, that is going to get ugly very quickly. That is the worst game of the non-conference schedule, hands down, in the Big 12. Now, something Derek Duke got right. The best conference game in the Big 12 is BYU at Utah, November 7th. The Holy War has become can't-miss television. It is the best rivalry in the Big 12, and it's not even close. It is an enormous part of the brand that the Big 12 has right now. It's lost some great rivalries, right? I mean, this conference lost OU Texas. It's almost impossible to replace OU Texas. But honestly, I think they did it. BYU versus Utah is right on par with Oklahoma, Texas. It's just the rest of the country has not been given the exposure to that game, and the game hasn't been played, obviously, every year for a long time. But now in the Big 12, it is. And this thing is as good of a rivalry game as you're going to find in all of college football. And the Big 12 has it. And they're both really good right now, too. And they play tremendous games. So BYU-Utah is one of the top five rivalries in college football. It has become the best game in the Big 12, hands down. and I believe it will be one of the best once again this year. So that is the best conference game in the league, and there's not a close second right now. It's BYU, it's Utah, it's that rivalry, it's what it means off the field, it's proximity, it's everything you would want in college athletics wrapped into one game. So Derek is right about that. You have all the makings of what should be another great game. And I can't wait for it. I can't wait. So he nailed that one. I got to give him that. Then he had the worst conference game. And he listed West Virginia at Texas Tech on November 7th. Now, I know what he was going for. He was basically saying, hey, I think Tech's going to be really good. I don't think West Virginia's going to be good. Therefore, I think this game's going to be a blowout. When I think worst game, I think about two teams who I believe don't have a chance to really compete playing against each other in what is an ugly game. That's how I perceive a worst game. I mean, Tech could be undefeated on that November 7th game against West Virginia. Who knows? Maybe the Mountaineers, who have a manageable start to their season, maybe they're surprising some people by November 7th. I don't know. It's possible. I'm not projecting it right now, but it's possible. So that may be a game that has more juice than we think. West Virginia's going to be coming off a bye. So I don't think that's the worst game. When I think about like the worst game in the Big 12, here's what I think about. I think about UCF hosting Baylor on October 31st. I think that both these teams will be out of the Big 12 race. Not that they can't be improved. Don't mistake that if you're a UCF fan. If you're fighting for bowl eligibility, if UCF gets to a bowl game this year, that's a step in the right direction under Scott Frost. If Baylor somehow figures out a bowl game, that's, I don't want to say a miracle for Dave Aranda, but boy, is he going to need that. Saturday, October 31st, in Orlando, UCF hosts Baylor. That game will have no juice. I don't believe either team will be in the Big 12 title race. They may have their own goals and expectations that are still attainable. I don't think they'll be in the Big 12 title race. It'll be, Halloween Day, and there's going to be a lot going on in people's lives. And I'm looking at that and saying, UCF, Baylor, yeah, that's right now the worst game of the Big 12 football schedule. Because that's how I analyze worst game. It might be a close game, like it might be a 21-20 game, but does it mean anything? Is anyone going to care about it outside of those two fan bases? Will it have any juice to it? And the answer to me is no. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Hey, please make sure you're subscribed. We also have a link to sign up for the newsletter. I put one take in a Sunday newsletter. I don't share anywhere else. So make sure that you are looking in the show notes and subscribing to our newsletter here at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. Stay warm and go Big 12.